coming, but I know.
All right. Welcome back to the Early Room Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Sandy Williams. No, Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, you know, you talked about the fact that we're kind of going back in time in the Founding Fathers. I don't know. You think the Founding Fathers ever envisioned the states becoming more powerful than the federal government itself?
Yeah, I think the Founding Fathers thought they. I think the Founding Fathers thought they were more powerful, and the reasons for the federal union were much less vital and much less of overwhelming import at that point than they are now. The level of commerce between the states was greatly heightened by the railroad. The railroad didn't exist at that time. We basically had water and river transit as the main means of transportation between the states. So really, the United States of America was much more like the European Union is now than the U.S. is now. And as time went on, the United States has blended into being essentially one big country with all kinds of rights that are federal, and all of those things, many of them developed from the time of the New Deal. The New Deal was the time when the greatest amount of federal power was established and overwhelming the rights of each state. And the fact the 1930s were a time of great dissent between states' writers and the federal power people. The states' rights arguments continued all the way up until the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And so really it was the 50s and 60s that were the development of federal power and the notion that the United States was one big country.
So let's do this, Evan. Let's go to John from where? Where is he located?
John from Ho-Chunkville, which, you know, it's by Madison here.
Yeah, all right. How you doing, John? Thank you very much for the call. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm doing medium well. Ock, ock, shaw, shaw.
I like it.
I was going to congratulate Mike on launching two sturdy ships on their maiden voyage.
All right.
But I didn't get to say that, so here I am. You're the next best, Earl.
That's very kind, John. Thank you.
Well, no extra charge. I would like to add something to the president today made a barn burner of a speech. And as a former volunteer fireman, I know what barn burning is all about. I've been to one. Had he given it during prime time, as in starting now or later,
right,
things would be different. We'll see. But I would like to repeat something that a very dear friend said 45 years ago. If I'd have known I was going to live to be this old, I'd have taken better care of myself. Okay, here it is.
I can relate to that.
Okay, well, the trick in life is to die young at a ripe old age. That's Ashley Montague. Anyway, this is what she said. The counter to love is not hate. It is fear. Fear begets hate, and hate has no legitimate children. I will repeat that. The counter to love is not hate. It is fear. Fear begets hate, and hate has no legitimate children.
So what's your take on the voting rights issue that clearly was spurned out of Donald Trump losing the election, and the fact that because he lost the election, he was able to convince many others on the right that there was something critically wrong with our voting system, and that's the reason we are where we are now.
Well, there's something critically wrong with the ex-president. That's the problem.
Let me jump in here, Earl, because I think that Trump was a reflection of something that's critically wrong with the country, more than Trump has led the country into a critically wrong direction. I think that they are that they're mutually inclusive of one another. And I do think that the voter rights legislation is some of the most important stuff we've got facing us, because clearly the states, if left to organize themselves as independent nations, can decide to become places that are wholly inconsistent with what is expected of America. And that clearly the federal government has, since the Constitution, but certainly since the middle of the last century, has become the place where we are going to hold our various states' feet to the fire to make sure that they meet the minimum standards of the Constitution as it should reasonably be interpreted, and not manipulated to create something which is a republic in which all are not created equal and all are not given equal opportunities. And clearly what's happened in the voter suppression actions of the last 25 years has been an effort to make it possible to repress votes and to make sure that all people are not equal. And it's part of the establishment. I would accuse the white establishment of trying to hold on to power as they watch the demographics of this country changing in a manner that would take the power away from them in a one man, one vote atmosphere.
You want to respond to Sandy quickly? Okay. Well, Sandy, I will say this. You, as always, you're right on point with that and the fears that people have. But at the root of it, Sandy, is the destruction of the democracy, right? I mean, there's no way keep touting, you know, the great democracy when we see those things happening before our own eyes.
Well, I think it's, you get down to it, some of the Republican ideologues who are beginning expressing what they think is a correct view of the framers, the founders' view of democracy. They describe, first of all, a republic. They want to make it clear that we aren't a democracy, we're a republic. And there are a number of people now who are willing to expound about that and about that differential. And the line that they're trying to make between republics and democracies is that republics are not based on one man, one vote. Republics are based on a bicameral house in which you have a Senate, which is essentially the place where the establishment is represented, and you have a House of Representatives or an assembly in which the people are represented, and that those are two different sorts of representation which will counterbalance one another. And that principle has buried in it the concept that some people are less important than others.
Sandy, hold that thought, man, because that's at the root of what I'm talking about. Got to go to a break. All of you on the phone lines, hang on. I promise you, we'll get back to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams is my guest. We'll be right back.